The scripture that was read this morning is Luke chapter 17. The verses were 11 through 19. We have a story here of our Lord healing 10 lepers. And the events surrounding the physical healing of these 10 lepers teach us some important things about having a thankful heart. The song that we sing sometimes, "Count Your Many Blessings," name them one by one. Count your many blessings. You'll be surprised what the Lord has done. God has done so much for us, and He is doing so much for us, and He will do so much for us. He has blessed us with all good things. The Bible teaches us that every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of light, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We're thankful that God blesses us with good things. He has blessed us with homes to live in. He's blessed us with clothes to wear. He's blessed us with food to eat. He's blessed us with families to enjoy, husbands, wives, children, grandchildren, uncles, grandmothers, grandfathers, nieces, nephews, cousins, and all those other folks. We're just so thankful for all of the blessings that God has blessed us with. And we should never take our blessings for granted, because God doesn't have to do it. He doesn't owe us not one blessing, but because He's God and He loves us, He blesses us with these great things. So as we look at these events surrounding the healing of these 10 lepers, there are three things that I want us to be thankful for and always be thankful for. As we sit around the tables, if God blesses us on Thursday, and we visit with family and with friends, and we talk about, as we've just discussed, these many things that God has blessed us with, there are three things that I believe, and I don't want to say overshadow these blessings, but there are three things that if it were not for these things, then all of the other blessings perhaps would not even matter. Because the things that I've just talked about, they are things that gives us courage to go on for tomorrow and the next day, and to enjoy tomorrow and the next day in this life. For there is a life to come. And if these things then were not possible because of God, then we would have no future to look forward to. That is a home in heaven. And so I want us to think about these three things as we discuss what's happened in this story. Number one, I want us to be thankful for the love of God toward us. Number two, I want us to be thankful for the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. And number three, I want us to be thankful for the fellowship that we can have with God and with Christ. Again, if it were not for these three things, all the other things that help to sustain us in this life, after this life is over, then nothing would be any good. So we need God's love. We need God's forgiveness. And we need God's fellowship with us to take us on into eternity, that we might be able to spend eternity with Him. And so, as Jesus travels along, as the Bible says, he has this encounter with these 10 lepers. And the Bible says again that they stood afar off and they said, "Have mercy on us." And don't all of us today need God's mercy? We need God's mercy upon us. So they said, "Have mercy upon us." Was Jesus obligated to take up time with these lepers? From a societal standpoint, and even from a biblical standpoint of Old Testament time, he was not obligated to take up time with these lepers. Because when you read in the book of Deuteronomy, even God had said that lepers were to be ostracized. Lepers were to live in isolation. Nobody was to have anything to do with lepers. Read the book of Leviticus, chapter 13, verses 44 and 45. Read Numbers, chapter 5, verses 2 and verse 3. And you'll see there that God said that lepers were to be shunned. So Jesus had no obligation, and certainly being in Palestine, as he was on his way, as the Bible says, down toward Jerusalem, or from Jerusalem, he would be among his Jewish brethren. And the Jewish brethren would have known that they were to stay away from lepers. So from a societal standpoint, from a biblical standpoint, Jesus was not obligated to take up any time with these lepers. You know, the only thing that caused Jesus to do this was love and compassion for these lepers. God is not obligated to take up any time with us. I just said, he doesn't owe us not one thing. But the reason why God takes up time with us and why God blesses us as he does is because of love and compassion. So we ought to always be thankful for God's love toward us, because we don't deserve it. We do not deserve it. And so it was love and compassion that caused Jesus to take up some time with these individuals. The Bible says that his mercy and his compassion, as it talks about mercy in Psalm 36 and verse 5, that it even extends to the heavens. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. In Lamentations 3 and verse 22, it is of the Lord of mercies, or the Lord's mercies, that we are not consumed, because his compassion fails not. There's never one moment that God is not loving toward us, that God is not compassionate toward us. We may cease our love for somebody else. We may cease our compassion for somebody else, but God never ceases his love toward us, even though we are unlovable. But he still loves us anyway. His love is not conditional. His love is unconditional. God always extends his love toward us, even when we don't love him. Even when we are in our sins, he still loves us, because he's a loving God and he's a compassionate God. And so that's the reason why Jesus took some time to minister to these 10 lepers. And we ought to always be thankful for the love that God extends toward us. Let us then never forget how God loves us. God will love us when nobody else will. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? that God will love us when nobody else will. I mentioned several weeks ago, maybe a couple of 3 months ago or whatever, and I mentioned about this sign, this church sign that read, "Kiki may not love you, but Jesus does." So I don't care what Kiki does and what Ray Ray and Bebe and all those other folks do. I want God's love. God will love us when nobody else will. We ought to be thankful for that. We ought to always have a thankful heart for the love of God. He has an everlasting love. It is a love that is not prompted by our goodness, but is prompted by His goodness. Remember what the Bible says in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but they should have everlasting life." I'm glad that God loves us like that. God loved us, as I've already said, when we were unlovable. In Romans 5 and verse number 5, the Bible says this. The Bible says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." And the next passage says this. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time," the Bible says, "Christ died for the ungodly." That never would have happened if it had not been for the love and the compassion that God had on mankind. And the Bible goes on and says, "For scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even do what? Dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Isn't that some love? That is some love. And that's some love I don't ever want to be without. So again, if nobody else loved me, I'm thankful this morning that God loves me. And I know you feel the same way, ought to feel the same way. So again, it was not out of societal obligation. It was not even out of Old Testament biblical obligation that Jesus took some time out with these lepers. But it was because of His love and because of His compassion. So I'm thankful then that Jesus ministered to those individuals. Number two, I said be thankful for the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. The disease that the lepers had could not be cured. That's why they had to be banned in isolation. It was an incurable disease that they had. It could not be cured by simple washing of soap. You know, health regulations and health tell you now that, you know, to clean a wound, you wash it out with soap and water. That'll cleanse that wound. Soap and water couldn't help leprosy. It could not be cleansed by going down to Walgreens and get the most powerful prescription for an infection or whatever that they had on their shelf. It could not be cleansed by that. The only thing that could take care of leprosy was Jesus Christ. The Bible says again in verse number 14, "And when He saw them, He said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." The priests didn't clean them. It was Jesus that cleansed them of their leprosy. You see, mankind's sin problem today is a type of leprosy. In other words, no soap can clean it. No prescription that you can get off the shelf can clean it. Only Jesus Christ and His blood has the cure for our sin problem. So just as these lepers could not be cleansed by nothing else but Jesus' ministering to them, Our sin problem cannot be cured. Only cannot be cured by anything else other than Jesus' blood. So we ought to be so thankful. Yes, we have families. Yes, we have friends. But we ought to be so thankful that Jesus' blood cleanses us from our sins. Listen to what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 7. In whom, talking about Christ, in whom we have what? Redemption through his blood. Remember these lepers. They could only be cleansed by Jesus. We today can only be cleansed from our sin by Jesus' blood. So in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Mankind's sin problem then could only be taken care of by the blood of Jesus. The blood of bulls and goats in Old Testament times couldn't do it. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 4 says that it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Silver and gold couldn't do it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. The Bible says, for as much as you know, that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So only the blood of Jesus can cleanse us from our sins. We ought to be so thankful for the blood of Christ. I'm sure that these lepers, they appreciated it, and perhaps even the nine that didn't come back, perhaps they appreciated it, but they didn't appreciate it evidently enough to come back and say thank you. So we need to appreciate the blood of Christ, and we need to thank God always for the gift of his Son. Many times and most times that we hear prayers from this pulpit, as men are praying, they're thanking God for Jesus Christ. We need to always thank God for Jesus Christ, because if it were not for him, we could never be cleansed from our sins. Only the blood of Jesus Christ could cleanse us. But notice something else about these lepers, if you will. You notice what the Bible says in Luke chapter 17 and verse number 12. Again, it says, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood where? Afar off. Do you not know if it were not for the blood of Christ, we would still be standing afar off? The reason why these lepers stood afar off, because they knew that they didn't have the privilege of getting into the general population. So they stood afar off. And we don't have the privilege, or wouldn't have the privilege, of getting into the population of God's people if it were not for the blood of Jesus Christ. And so if we don't have the blood, we are standing afar off. We can't have what I'm going to talk about next, the fellowship of Jesus Christ. So then they stood afar off. And as long as we don't have the blood of Jesus Christ, we're standing afar off. You know what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 13? He had already talked about the ones that didn't have Christ and God, that they had no hope. The Bible says here in verse number 13, but now where? In Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were what? Afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So the only way that we can come into the fellowship with God is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the only way that these lepers could get in the general population is they had to be cleansed. But in that day and time, there was no cure for it. And so they had to forever remain afar off from people. Thank God Jesus had love and compassion for them and healed them of their leprosy. Thank God again for the blood of Jesus Christ that gives us the privilege to come into the fellowship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And a beautiful thing about that blood is, as we've been studying even in 1 John chapter 1 on Sunday mornings, that it keeps on cleansing us from our sins. Verse number 7 of 1 John chapter 1 teaches us that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship one with another, and the blood of who? Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us. Keep on cleaning us up. Keep on making us clean. Keep on making us presentable to be in the presence of God. I'm thankful for that this morning, are you? If it were not for his blood, that would not have been possible. And so his blood then keeps on cleaning us up. And the beautiful thing about this is that they didn't take Christ's blood from him. He willingly gave it up. God didn't make him do it. He willingly gave it up. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 10. After again realizing, as the Hebrew writer says, that the blood of Jesus, or rather the blood of bulls and goats, was not possible to take away sins. In verse number 5 it says this: wherefore when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body has thou prepared for me. That's the words of Jesus. And he goes on in the next verse and he says, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. But he goes on and says in the next verse, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book to do thy will, O God. It had been written of him, he says, to do thy will, O God. But you know what the Bible says in the next verse? The next verse says, above when he says sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither has pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. In the next verse he says, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He that taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Those are some words from the book of Psalms that is referencing what Jesus has said. He says, I come to do thy will. And he says, he prepared a body for me. He had to have a body so he could give up some blood, because a spirit doesn't have blood. So he had to have a body. And he willingly took on the form of you and me, as a man, if you will, so that he could have some blood to shed on the cross, that we could be redeemed and forgiven of our sins. So he willingly did that. And he said it about himself in John chapter 6 and verse number 38. Notice what he says. He says, for I am come down from where? Heaven. To do, not to do mine own will. That shows that he was willing. He says, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. So he willingly came down from heaven to do his own will. But you know what? Sometimes folks can get in the way of the Lord doing what he wants to do. And you know, Peter got in the way on one occasion, wanted to stop or tried to stop the Lord from doing what he wanted to do. It was not long after Jesus had pronounced that he was going to build his church. And he said to his disciples, don't tell anybody that I am Jesus the Christ. It wasn't time for them to know that he was the Messiah. But then notice what the Bible says in Matthew 16 and verse number 21. The Bible says this: from that time forth began Jesus to show unto the disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, and the Bible says, and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised from the dead the third day, or raised again the third day. Now listen to this. The next verse says this: then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But then Jesus says this: But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men." Jesus willingly, he had come to willingly do the Father's will, but yet Peter steps up and try to stop him, because he's thinking only like men are thinking. He said, you need to start, basically, you need to think like God. God sent me here. I willingly came here to do the Father's will. So in other words, get out of my way and let me do what God wants me to do. Sometimes folks, even today, will get in your way and try to stop you. This is some off from a lesson a little bit. But sometimes folks will get in your way and try to stop you from doing God's will. You need to say just like Jesus says, get thee behind me. Let me do what God wants me to do. Let that song sink in just a little bit. Keep on doing God's will, no matter how folks get in your way and try to stop you. It may be folks out there, members, the people that are not members of the church, or it may be folks in here, members of people who are members of the church. Don't let anybody stop you from doing the will of God. Jesus didn't let Peter, and I'm thankful, that's another thing we can be thankful for, that Jesus didn't let Peter stop him from doing the will of God. Because that was his objective, to come down here and do God's will, to take on flesh and blood so that he could go to yonder's cross and shed that blood so that we could be forgiven of our sins. So let us always be thankful for the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. So again, as we enjoy the company of one another, let's be thankful for that blood that was shed. Lastly this morning, be thankful for the fellowship that we can have with Christ. I just have to believe that Christ wanted all 10 lepers to return and have fellowship with him. Otherwise, he never would have asked the question, where are the nine? I cleaned up 10 of you fellas. Why did just one come back? All of them should have come back. So again, the Bible says, and one of them, in verse number 15, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Fell on his face, and at his feet, giving him what? Thanks. And notice what it said here. And he was a what? Samaritan. What does that imply to you? That those other fellows were Jews. This one Samaritan came back. If anybody should have been so grateful, it should have been those other nine to come back. Because they had been waiting, if you will, and looking for the coming, or should have been waiting and looking for the coming of the Lord. But they had the wrong idea. And I'm talking about the Jewish nation as a whole now, not just these 10. The Jewish nation as a whole had the wrong idea. They thought that Jesus was coming back to deliver them from their physical captors, if you will, their Roman captors, if you will. So if anybody should have been so thankful, you would have thought that his nine would have certainly come back and glorified the Lord. But here's a man, a Samaritan, somebody who had been looked down upon, who had been scorned, who had been ridiculed, and in the Jews' mind, who kept them afar off. He was the one that came back. You see, again, brothers and sisters, folks that we count out sometimes, folks that we look down on sometimes, are the very one that the Lord will lift up. So let's not look down on anybody. Let's just do the will of God. So the Bible says this one that came back was a Samaritan. He was the only one that chose to return. And the others, for whatever reason, I don't know, they continued on their way. Today, since we have been cleansed, or since we have the opportunity to be cleansed from our sins, we can have fellowship with Jesus and with God. That would not be possible Number one, if it were not for the love of God and the compassion of God, it would not be possible if it were not for the blood of Jesus Christ. But since now we got the love of God and we got the blood of Jesus Christ, now we can have fellowship with God. That's the only thing that will put us into fellowship with God. And if we are not in fellowship with God, we can never receive the wonderful spiritual blessings from God and wind up in heaven. We need fellowship with God. The Bible says when John wrote in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4, the Bible says that which we have seen and heard, that declare we unto you, that we may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with who? The Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy might be full. Those apostles, they had fellowship with God. And John wanted those people in his day and time to have fellowship with them. They were in the right relationship with God. But how was it possible? By the blood of Christ and by the love of God. If it were not for the blood of Christ, again, the apostles couldn't have had fellowship. You and I could not have fellowship. But because of the blood of Christ and the love of God, we can have fellowship with God. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to leave this world not having fellowship with God. Because if I don't have fellowship with God when I leave this world, heaven will never be my home. We've got to have fellowship with God. And only God's love and Jesus' blood makes that possible. And so as I close this morning, yes, we take out our sheet and we write down the things that we are thankful for. But I would hope that somewhere on those sheets of paper, and I said those sheets, because one sheet won't hold everything that we ought to be thankful for. But I would also say on those three, on those sheets, I would encourage all of us to put these three that I've talked about this morning as number 1, 2, and 3. They ought to be the first ones that we are thankful for. Because without those three, those other things in the end won't matter. Be thankful for God's love. Be thankful for Jesus' blood. And be thankful for the fellowship that we can have because of the first three, or first two, rather, that I talked about. Don't leave this world, as I've said, without having fellowship with God. How do you have fellowship with God? By obeying his gospel. His love, his mercy, and his grace makes the gospel available to everybody. But you and I have to avail ourselves to the benefits of the gospel. Would you hear and believe the gospel, that great love story that God gave his son and his son died? He was buried, he rose again the third day in order that we could be justified in God's sight. That's good news. That's what the gospel is. Would you believe in that? Would you turn or repent of your sins that you might be in a position now to receive that cleansing power? Would you turn away from everything that's wrong and turn to that which is right? Would you confess? Or make the statement that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And would you go down in the water and grave of baptism for the remission of sins? Because that's where you come in contact with the blood, is in baptism. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church. At that point, then, you have fellowship with God. You continue to walk in the light as he is in the light. And his blood will continually cleanse you. Be faithful unto death, Revelation 2:10. And the Lord says, I'll give you a crown of life. That's what you want, isn't it? You want that crown of life that fadeth not away. So if you're here this morning, and you really are truthful, I really appreciate, and you are thankful for God's love and for Jesus' blood and the fellowship that you can have, if you have not obeyed the gospel, you ought to come to the Lord this morning.